Most of us do not have enemies in the full sense of the word. People whose goal is to destroy you and destroy everything you have, your family, your possessions, and get rid of you. There are people who can care less what happens to you, whether it's good or bad, and they might hurt you, but not because you are their enemy, but just because they are used to taking advantage of people regardless of who they are. They are sinners, just as you and I are sinners. As a believer, you will not feel necessarily that your enemies are the same enemies that you have, let's say, like an American citizen. There are leaders of countries that teach their people to consider Americans as enemies, to hate them. And because of the power, well, they hate Americans, America, because of their power, their religion, or the lack of religion as they see it. And we might consider people from such country our enemies, maybe Iran or Korea or other countries where Christianity is not the predominant religion, maybe Islam. But the people that we will treat as enemies most likely are the people living here within our own borders, who do not conform to the way that we live as believers. You mean we might treat people as enemies or people that we don't like to associate too much with, like people who drink or use drugs or who have a criminal past or who do not value marriage between a man and a woman or who practice a religion different from what real Christianity is? Whether it's a form of Christianity that you know that's not really Christianity, since you know what the Bible teaches, or maybe a different religion. The sermon today is about compassion. In fact, we're going to have God as our teacher teaching compassion. And God wants us to extend compassion to everyone. The fact that someone is not living in a way that is honoring to God, in a way that we're comfortable with, doesn't mean that such person has already rejected the gospel. And even if that person has rejected the gospel in the past, if God is giving you another opportunity to share the gospel, you should take it and share it again. And I'm not talking about sharing your faith. Sometimes we like to talk about sharing your faith. We're talking about just sharing the gospel, that they are sinners, that they will be judged by God, but Jesus can save them from the wrath of God. Today we're looking at the last chapter of the book of Jonah. God included this chapter, I think, mainly for the instruction of his people. The book of Jonah could have finished in chapter 3. If the purpose of God was to save the people of Nineveh, he didn't need chapter 4. God wanted to save Nineveh. He sent his prophet in chapter 1. The prophet said, no way, I'm not going there. He went a different way. Well, God sent a storm and sent him back and put him inside a fish where he was kind of compelled to go, since he didn't die as he was planning to, but he was actually vomited into land by the fish. But then in chapter 3, Jonah goes, finally obeys under compulsion. He obeys God as he promised, and he goes and preaches. And the people are saved. They believe Jonah, and they are saved. And then you could say, that was a wonderful ending for a book. The disobedient prophet doesn't want to go, but then God changes his heart, and then he goes and preaches, and then everybody gets saved. So why do we have chapter 4? Well, let's say that Jonah's heart was not changed by then. He was just obeying because he promised to obey. And this chapter is here not because God was just interested in saving the people of Nineveh. He wanted to change the heart of Jonah. And he wanted to change his understanding. But who cares? Jonah obeyed. Who cares if his heart was changed or if it wasn't changed? He obeyed, right? But God cares. I mean, he obeyed. He had a successful ministry. Everybody in the town and the city, from the king to the poorest family in town, believed Jonah. So if the people were saved, who cares if the prophet believed the message or not, or wanted them to be saved? Well, God cared. And he cared about Jonah, but not just about him. But he also cared about all the people that would come after him, all the people of God, about you. This chapter was written for you. Jonah, he knew what happened. He didn't even need this chapter because God talked to him in this chapter. This chapter was written for you who are here this morning, who are a believer. That's why God made him record what happened. And today we're looking at the lesson that God had for Jonah. And the lesson is, care about every soul, even for those who are not living in a way that you like, in a way that is honoring to God. So please turn your Bible to Jonah chapter 4. And if you have done so, let's go first to the Lord in prayer and then we'll continue. Lord, I pray that you will help me as I share this chapter with my brothers and sisters. May you help us to learn the lesson that you taught Jonah over 3,000 years ago. The lesson is still the same because you haven't changed. Something that Jonah learned, and I pray that you will help us to tune our hearts to your heart. Help us to want what you want, to love what you love, and to obey you out of a thankful heart, out of a heart full of compassion and love and mercy and grace, and not out of compulsion. And Lord, you love your people so much that you couldn't just let Jonah obey out of duty, but you work in his heart, and may you work in our heart this morning as we look at your word. And we're praying this in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Jonah is a book where not Jonah, but God is the primary character in the book. It doesn't focus on Jonah or what he did, because Jonah did very little. It's mostly about what God was doing. I would say that the book of Jonah is a book about salvation. If we look at the content in the chapter 1, God saves the Gentile, and it's Gentile because they were not Jewish. And Jonah's purpose when he got in the boat was not for the sailors, the Phoenician sailors, to be saved. But we also see that they were spiritually ignorant. Pray to their idol or to their gods, and of course none of their gods could save them from the storm. But God saves them. At the end of the chapter, they are saved and they are making vows to the true God. In chapter 2, we see God acting again. Jonah says, I don't want to go. Just throw me into the sea. If I die, it's fine. So they throw him into the sea, and what Jonah was not planning, God saves him. Wasn't very comfortable. He had seaweed going around his head. He probably couldn't drink the sea water. He would have died. But then once he was there in the fish that God prepared, he prayed and he wanted to be saved. And God saves Jonah. And in fact, in that chapter, Jonah proclaims salvation is of the Lord. But then we go to chapter 3, and I think that's the biggest miracle that we have in the book of Jonah, where the whole town of Nineveh, with one prophet, God didn't send lots of prophets to finally make them repent. God didn't do miracles right and left. Jonah didn't preach how they could say. Jonah only preached what he had to preach. He only said, in 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. That's it. And the people said, we need to do something about it. Maybe, who knows if God will relent. Jonah didn't tell them that God was a loving, kind God that will forgive them. But with a mean message, with a message of judgment, with a prophet, with an unwilling prophet who didn't want to help them, the whole town changes. And they are not destroyed that generation. They are destroyed 150 years later. So, the other thing that's why people have problems with the book of Jonah is because of the miracles. Actually, this little miracle called the great fish. How can someone be 3 days insides of a fish and not die. In fact, that's just one of the many miracles in the book of Jonah. How can someone send a storm that experienced sailors are afraid to die? And then, after they throw Jonah overboard, the storm is calmed completely. And the sailors recognize it was God's working. Then God prepares a fish, and that was just Jonah there. And we, another miracle is the obedience of the fish. He maybe was full with Jonah, but he had to take him back to land. And the other thing is, it changes Jonah's, he decides to obey God. Not out of a willing heart, but out of maybe just thanking God for saving him. And then we have the biggest miracle of the people repenting. But now we move to chapter 4. And chapter 4, God is going to explain to us why is he extending salvation to people. And that should change our heart. The purpose of God of explaining this to Jonah, I mean, if I were, sometimes I give up in my kids, if I tell one of my kids to do something, and then you tell him, and he doesn't want to do it, he goes the opposite way to Tarshish. Well, not to Tarshish, but he goes the wrong way. He's like, oh, I'll give up on this one. Let's go and ask the other one. But God did not give up on Jonah. And even after all the people were saved, I still have to deal with Jonah. And God didn't just give up on Jonah, but he went after him. And he said, I need you, Jonah, to see what I have in my heart and why I wanted you to come and talk to these people that you consider your enemies. So he wants Jonah that he might learn to have compassion even to those who do not live in a way that is honoring to God, even on those who are living in spiritual ignorance. So why should Jonah care for those who you would say they are enemies of the gospel? Well, Jonah should care because God's will is more important than what you want, than your will. And there are just two little points we're going to look at this morning in this chapter. But basically, you should care about other people, even those who you would consider your... They won't listen to the gospel. They don't care about Christian things. They don't care about the Bible. But at one time, you were just like them. And then God, through His Spirit, changed your heart. So, care for every soul because God's will is more important than yours. Let's look at Jonah 4, chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, or it was evil in Jonah's eyes that the people were saved. And he became angry. And what should you do when you get angry? And now you can see how Jonah was a true believer. He believed in God. You would say someone is, most of the time when we think of someone who is angry at God, they don't want to come to church. They don't want to do anything with Christians. But what does Jonah do? He's angry at God. He prays to God, which is quite amazing. He is an angry prophet, and what does he do? He knows God is true. He has a relationship with God. He's seen His power all along. I mean, he was inside the fish. He was with the sailors. He knew how God was chasing him back and forth. So he tells them, Lord, I'm angry at you. Ah, Lord, this is what I told you. I knew it. Even when I was in my country, when I was still in my own land, I knew that you were going to save them. That's why he didn't want to come. And then he's confessing, that's why I went the other way to Tarshish. That's why I fled from you. I know that you are gracious and merciful, slow to anger. You are a softy. You have a soft heart. And I knew you were going to save these people. And I hate these people because there were other two prophets at the same time. And in fact, next week we're going to study the book of Hosea, and who was a prophet at the same time as Jonah. And they both had predicted that Assyria was going to destroy Israel, Jonah's country. It was going to take over his whole land and his family. And he said, I knew you were going to forgive them and let them live. And I didn't want to do it. I just didn't want to do that. I'm so mad. I know you're gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness. And he's quoting here almost Moses word by word, but also Hosea, one of his contemporaries. I mean, Joel, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, Lord, please take my life, because it's for better for me to die than have to live. And I think one of the reasons why God chose Jonah is because of the way he made it and the way that his personality was. His life, his mood moved like a pendulum. One time he was really mad and he's ready to die. Throw me into the fish. I don't want to. Throw me to the water. I want to die. And then the next time, it's on the opposite side. Please, Lord, save me. I don't want to die here in the fish. I felt that you closed your bars over me. I thought I was going to be there forever, but now I'm going to praise you because you took me out from the abyss. And now he's back on the other side. Lord, kill me. I can't believe you saved him. I knew it. And this is happening. I mean, he's realizing this. He's still inside the city. He's still proclaiming, saying, in 40 days you're going to be destroyed. Yes, God is going to destroy the city in 40 days. He's not telling them that if you repent, God will forgive you. And then he sees them from the king to the youngest, to the poorest family, to the most humble family, not taking care of their animals. The animals are sheep are bleeding. Well, and the cows are mooing. And all these, everyone is crying to God. The king sat in ashes. He took off his royal robes. He put sackcloth, so a very itchy thing. And he's in the town and he said, oh no, they are repenting. This can't happen. I'm so mad at you, Lord. Just kill me. I don't even want to get out of this town. This is awful. And another miracle I would count is that God responds to his prayer. See, we Christians have a relationship with the Lord. I came across in the internet some advice of some priest somewhere how when you're mad at God, you shouldn't blame God for the bad things that happen. And there are some good ideas. You don't want to treat God bad, but actually we're going to learn from Jonah that God sends good and he sends evil too. The problems that we have in our lives, God is in control and he sends them too. Any problems that you have, God is not like, as Psalm 121 says, he doesn't slumber or sleeps. He's not like, oh, what time it is? Oh no, I didn't take care of so and so. Now they are in trouble. No, God doesn't sleep. He's watching every single thing that happens, and good things and the bad things that happen in our lives. God brings them to our lives, as we're going to see with the plant and the worm. But Jonah knew God, and what we need to do is, Jonah wanted his will to be done. Not God's will, which was to save the people, but he wanted his will to be done, which we have those Assyrians destroyed. And in order to be able to deal with disappointing events, we need to detach ourselves, well, to understand what's happening. Part of it is Jonah's feelings, Jonah's happiness and unhappiness was attached to what happened in the world around him. And if we are going to be happy as a Christian, we cannot just move like Jonah in a pendulum. Oh, this bad thing happened, so I'm sad. This bad thing happened, I'm happy. But something we need to realize is that the happiness in a believer comes not from the events around us, but from our relationship with God. And the thing is, Jonah had a great relationship with God. I mean, who can be mad and just go and pray to God? But Jonah had a very close relationship to God. And that's what John says. The thing that was from the beginning, this is 1 John 1:1-4, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and can't handle concerning the word of life. He says, the things we learn about Jesus Christ when we were with him, The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness, and we declare to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to you. We're telling you about what we experienced with Christ. John is saying, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us, that truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. We're telling you so you can have a relationship with God, just like Jonah had a relationship with God. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. The joy of a Christian comes from knowing that God is in control of everything. Jonah's joy did not come from that. Jonah's joy came from when God blessed his idea of what was right, Jonah was happy. When people were saved that were not supposed to be saved, Jonah was mad to the point of death. Said, take my life away, Lord. I don't want this. And he couldn't say, let your will be done. He said, let my will be done and not yours. That was Jonah's, and to a certain extent, his prayer. But what we need to remember is God's will in your life, if you're going to be happy, should be more important than your will. And that way you're going to be able to rejoice when God's will is done. We need to start like Jesus said us. In our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And sometimes His will doesn't quite match what we want. Sometimes we would like to see that all the people that are making fun of Christianity will suddenly realize that they are wrong and God will put them to shame during our lifetime. And that's what Jonah wanted. He wanted the Assyrians destroyed during his lifetime. But Jonah is going to die and the Assyrians are going to be there, and later they're going to attack and destroy Israel. But 150 years later, after Jonah is gone, God will show them that that they have sinned against Him and He will destroy them. But in the meantime, He's giving them an opportunity to know the true God and to know that the true God is the one that is saving them and keeping them alive and giving them the power that they have to become a world power. So, if Jonah had prayed, let your will be done on earth, he would have been happy that the Assyrians were saved. And sometimes we say, oh, I wish that our president or that our leaders could see that they would all become Christians and they'd realize the truth. Or that such and such would happen, or leaders of different organizations. But it might not be God's will for it to happen during your lifetime. But if you're going to be happy in your Christian life, you need to realize, okay, what is happening and the events that are happening around me, they are according to God's will. And I just need to make sure that I have a relationship with God, because that's where my happiness is going to come from. So, God's will is more important than yours. But also, you should care for every soul, because God is showing compassion for God. To show compassion is as important as your own needs and wants. And you have needs and you have wants. And something that God wants to do to show His greatness and the greatness of His grace and the greatness of His mercy and how compassionate can be is to save people. And just like you want food and you want shelter and you want comfort, God wants to show that He's compassionate. And that's what He's going to do. So in verses 5 to 11, God is going to prepare a lesson for Jonah. And Jonah is going to feel, he's going to let Jonah feel what he feels about doing compassion. He's going to show him his passion for compassion. Here is the Lord in a teaching mood. If you wanted to see God teaching, what would God be like a teacher? Well, one of them is just look at Jesus Christ as the master teacher. But here is God in the Old Testament acting as a teacher of his people, of Jonah. He's teaching in a loving mood. So, verse 4, God answers Jonah's prayer. And He said, is it right for you to be angry? Is it good for you to be angry? And God asked a question, and Jesus asked, interacted with people with questions, because it gets you starting thinking, is it right for me to be angry? Probably Jonah knew it wasn't right, but he's like, why is it not right? These people should have been destroyed. They don't worship God. No, I'm right. God is wrong. But God asking that question. So Jonah goes out of the city now and said, maybe God listened to me and maybe God will change his mind and he will destroy them. So he sits on the east side of the city and he makes himself a booth or a shelter. Basically, he makes himself a tent, probably with the sticks. This is the same word of the feast that they had of booths in the fall, where the Jews still do it, just to remember that they were in tents and they were pilgrims in the desert. This is the Feast of Tabernacles. So he built himself a tabernacle, probably made out of sticks and branches and something that he made there. Outside, and the other thing is, he just traveled 550 miles from the Mediterranean coast all the way to Nineveh. He crossed the Euphrates and then he went all the way to the Tigris where Nineveh was. So he's not just going to turn around and walk another, I don't know, probably a month took him to walk that distance. So he's going to stay there and see what happens. Since he's already there, he can wait those 40 days there. And where is he going to stay? Probably not in a hotel and probably not in Nineveh, because if God changed his mind, he knew what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. And you don't want to be inside the city when that happens. So he goes outside the city. He puts his tent there, his campsite there. And he's going to wait to see what happens. Maybe God will change his mind. And he sat under it in the shade till he might see what will become of the city. Verse 6, and the Lord prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade for his head to deliver him from his misery, from his evil. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. In the book of Jonah, we see God acting. And the word prepare, which means a sign, or I didn't put the word, it means to assign or to appoint. God appointed a fish in chapter 2, or at the end of chapter 1. But then God also prepared, now he's appointing a plant. And later we're going to see that not only that God is doing miracles just to deal with Jonah. Did the people of Nineveh need a plant, a worm, and a scorching wind? No, they didn't. Do we need it? Yes, sometimes we need it, because God is preparing a lesson here. And I'm glad this is his lesson plan. If he were a modern teacher and his lesson plans, materials needed, plant, warm, scorching wind. That would be what he needs for this lesson. So the Lord assigns a plant and makes it come over Jonah, that it might shake him for his head to deliver him from his misery. And Jonah's pendulum, now he's super happy. In fact, he's exceedingly happy. New King James says he's very grateful for the plant. The Hebrew says he rejoiced with great joy. He's like, woo, thank you, Lord. He's comfortable. God has prepared a nice place for him to watch what's going to happen. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm. And that's the word, the same word prepared, assigned. So it damaged the plant that it withered. It dried up the next day. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared one more thing. A vehement, or the meaning of the word is uncertain. It's maybe a scorching or an intense wind. And the sun beat on Jonah's head. And then he was ready to pass out again. He was feeling like he was in the inside of the whale or the fish again. Ugh. And his pendulum goes the other way, and he wishes death for himself and said, it's better for me to die than to live. So God tells Jonah, the same question he asked before. Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? And now he asks about the plant. And he said, of course it's right for me to be angry, even to death. This is not right the way that things are working out. I was right. Those people should have been destroyed. That plant should have stayed. And that would have protected me of what destruction was going to be. But now, things are just not going right. You're just playing games with me, Lord. But then the Lord gives him spiritual understanding. And that's the insight that we want to get. And he tells them, Jonah, your answer was wrong. It is wrong for you to be angry. You shouldn't be upset at things that you are not in control of. Look at that. Did you plant the seed for that plant? No. Did you work on it, labor with it? No, you didn't. Did you make it grow? Can you make it grow? No, you can't make it grow. You have nothing to do with that plant. But he was depending on his external circumstances for his happiness. He wasn't thinking, oh Lord, thank you very much for this plant. I'm so glad that you are with me. I'm so glad that you are my Savior. You're providing what I need. You're providing for my needs, for my shelter, for every single thing I need. I can see you working on my favor. Instead of, woohoo, there is a plant. Oh, the plant is gone. Oh, shucks. He's mad at God. Kill me, Lord. I can't live without the plant. But he says, no. It came up in the night because I brought it up in the night, and I perished in the night because I also prepared the worm to destroy the plant. I sent you comfort, and then I took it away. Verse 11, the last verse of the book. And should I not pity Nineveh, the great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right and their left, and many animals that would have been destroyed? John is comparing the city of Nineveh to the plant. Just like Jonah wanted to enjoy the shade of the plant, God was enjoying saving the Nineveh. The book of Jonah, as we mentioned before, is a book of salvation. And what God enjoys is showing mercy, showing, as Jonah described him, being gracious, being merciful, abundant in loving kindness, relenting, repenting from doing harm. And God was showing compassion. Now, did Jonah get the lesson? Some people would say yes, because he probably got the lesson and then came and wrote the book about what happened in his life. But who cares if Jonah got the lesson or not? The question is, did you get the lesson? Are you getting the perspective he's giving? Jonah wanted to save the plant, and God wanted to save the people who had no spiritual understanding. Nineveh was God's plan. God was making Nineveh powerful. God was going to use it in his planning history to destroy, well, to punish Israel. He wasn't going to destroy them completely, but very close to completely. And he was going to raise that power. And he wanted to show them that it wasn't their gods that were giving them that power, but it was the God of Israel. And when Jonah went and said, Nineveh will be destroyed in 40 days, they knew that it was the God of Jonah who was going to destroy them. And they were afraid. And they realized, there is a more powerful God than the gods that we have here. And God was working with them in his own plan. And many of the times, we don't know when people will repent or not. And God wants to still show compassion. And God still wants us to share the message. And the message of the gospel, in some ways, is very similar to what Jonah preached. It's a message of judgment. You are a sinner. you have failed God, you deserve to be judged. And then what Jonah didn't mention, God can forgive, and that forgiveness is found in Jesus Christ. It's found in Jesus Christ. So you need to care for every soul, because God's will is more important than yours. You're not here so that your will be done, but you're here to glorify the one who has made you. But you are also here because for God, showing compassion is as important as your comfort. Just like your food and your water, God wants to show His goodness to humanity, to you, to everybody, by showing compassion. And my prayer this morning is that God might give us a heart with understanding of His will, so that we may rejoice not only when He pours blessing upon us, but also when we see that His will is being done. So the lesson for today is God's plans are more important than our desires. And our happiness should not depend on what happens around us, but in the fact that God is with us. Secondly, God's purpose in including this chapter was that your heart would want what the heart of God wants. We need to show compassion, especially towards those who do not live according to God's principles, to those so that we think, oh, they will never listen to us because they already have their own religion. They never care about the Bible. They would never go to church. If God gives you an opportunity, you should share it. They might respond, they might not respond. The incredible thing is that when God wants them to respond, even a bad prophet can be used, like Jonah, for people to turn to God. They might be living against God's principles in complete ignorance. He says, these people cannot distinguish between the right and left. But the idea is not that they didn't understand what right was and left was, but that they had no spiritual understanding. They were just living on their own understanding of the world around them without understanding that there was a God who created them. And the same with us. We were like that at one time until we came to the knowledge of God, until we came in contact with the Bible. We were in the same condition. Now, there are some people who oppose the gospel vehemently. And Paul calls them in the book of 2 Thessalonians unreasonable and wicked men. But most people are just in spiritual ignorance or spiritual darkness. They will repent if you share the message with them. Not everybody, but those who are in ignorance, when they hear the message and they are convicted by the Holy Spirit, it's not what you say, it's what you say with the Holy Spirit speaking in their hearts. They will change. But we need to present the message. So, I wanted to leave you with some verses that summarize the book of Jonah. One of them is 2:9, right from the book of Jonah. I will sacrifice to you, this is Jonah singing and praising God, with voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay what I have vowed, because salvation is of the Lord. Peter said something similar, opened his mouth and said, Peter was dealing with the same problem. I thought that the Jews were the only ones who were going to be saved. And then God sent him to Cornelius' house, a Roman. Jonah went to the Ninevites, Peter goes to Romans, and then he realized, oh, God wants to save other people too. He opened his mouth and said, in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him. God wants to save people, not just from Israel, but He saved Israel so that He could save from other nations. And the last one I want to leave with you is John 3:16. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God didn't send His Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. If we believe this, we should just be like Jonah. What's God's will? What does God want done. He wants the salvation of people. He wants to show compassion. We cannot show compassion. It is God who shows compassion, but He uses our message, whether very eloquent or very, like my sermons, all broken and with very poor language, God can still use it. So let's use it. God loves salvation and the salvation of people in every nation. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that You will bless us as a church and also as Your people. You went to great lengths to show Jonah what Your heart was. And I pray that You will help us to what we have seen and showed to us this morning in Jonah about Your great desire to show salvation. Just like Jonah needed that plant, You want to show salvation. I pray that You will help us to be involved in that process as You give us opportunities to do so, and realize that if people will turn to You, will be a miracle. Help us to not be afraid to share with those that we consider unworthy or impossible for them to change, because You can change them, just like Jonah thought it was impossible for the Ninevites to repent. And I pray that You will help us to share, You give us opportunities as a church and as individuals, with our friends, with the people we come in contact with, our co-workers, with our neighbors. And may You be glorified as we seek Your will and see it done here on earth. Please bless every one of my brothers and sisters, and thank You for loving us and for giving us this lesson this morning. And we're praying this in Jesus' name. Amen.